This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to our class of Sciences of Hadith. Today, inshallah, we will discuss the weak hadith, al-hadith daif. We already talked about the hadith mutawatir, hadith sahih, hadith hasan, and now we are discussing the weak hadith. And it is mentioned in the book, page 144. So you need to read what Dr. Kamali mentioned about hadith daif. Now, we start first with the definition of the weak hadith. And in order to define the weak hadith, you need to know what's the authentic hadith, hadith sahih, and what's the hadith hasan. Because we already said the hadith sahih is the authentic hadith, which has the trustworthy narrators with continuous link of chain for all the way to the Messenger ﷺ without being outlandish or without having any defects. The hadith hasan, the narrators are a little bit lower than the hadith sahih. Now, in the weak hadith, it is also lower. Dr. Kamali said it's the hadith that is not qualified to meet the hadith sahih or hasan criteria. The hadith that fails to qualify the conditions of hasan. Because once it fails to qualify to these conditions, it is daif automatically. But let's analyze it a little bit. What do we mean by it fails to qualify to the hasan level? Whether the chain of narrators is not continuous, or one of the narrators or more has weakness, whether in his trustworthiness or in his memory. That's what we mean by that. With this, we learn that there are many reasons for the hadith to become weak, whether from the isnad or from missing a narrator or from the narrator himself, even if he was mentioned. So again, if we wanted to define the hadith daif, there are several definitions. But Imam Suyuti, rahimahullah, one of them, he said, وَهُوَ الَّذِي عَنْ صِفَةِ الْحُسْنِ خَلَى وَهُوَ عَلَى مَرَاتِبٍ قَدْ جُعِلَى. So again, it's almost similar to what Dr. Kamali mentioned, so we will stick to this definition. It is the hadith that fails to qualify to the hasan. Now, let's say we have a hadith which is weak. We knew that this hadith is weak. Can we apply it or not? Someone was praying 2 rak'ah at 1 o'clock every day. And you ask him why? Because he tells you there is a hadith, says it's recommended to pray at 1 o'clock every day. Well, is this hadith authentic? Is it in Sahih ibn Hibban, Sahih ibn Khuzaymah? Is it in any of the books of Sahih? He says, no, it is a weak hadith, but I want to do it. So what do you think? Can someone do that or not? No? Why?
Because it has to do with prayers, it has to do with ruling. Sharia, it has to do with adding or subtracting prayers.
Mm-hmm.
You can add weak hadith, but not in adding subtracting prayers or adding rulings to the Sharia.
Okay, so you agree in principle that it is permissible?
It is permissible.
Unless it is in rulings.
Yes.
Yes.
In acts of worship, the default ruling is that it's haram unless there is an authentic hadith or from the Quran. And for everything else, it's halal, except if it's indicated haram. But for acts of worship,
For acts of worship, everything is haram, unless there is an evidence that it is allowed. So it's almost the same. But what about if it's not an act of worship? If you wanted to eat something, and you said, I cannot eat honey. Why? Because it's forbidden. Why it's forbidden? There is a weak hadith. Can you do that? But again, it's still in rulings. You just said that in rulings you cannot.
Yeah, it's eating. There is a hadith in the Quran about honey. Fi shifa'an linnas.
Yeah. Yeah, this is just an example. But in general, if you have a hadith which is weak, can you work according to it or not? Can you narrate this hadith also or not?
Can you narrate it as long as you say it's weak?
As long as you say it's weak. If you don't say it's weak.
Well, again, if it doesn't have to do with rulings or Sharia or.
Did all scholars of hadith who documented the hadith, did they all mention this hadith is weak, this hadith is hasan, this hadith is sahih? None of them did that. Why? Because they listed the chain of narrators. It's your job to check on them whether they are trustworthy or not. You had something from the students online?
Yeah, Omar Ahmed just put no.
No, Omar, why no? Why you say no? Well, actually, we have few opinions, and they are all mentioned in the book. But the majority say it is permissible to work according to the weak hadith, as long as there are two conditions. First, it cannot be about the aqidah. You cannot establish fundamental thing based on weak hadith. Because we already discussed that some scholars, even if it's authentic, it has to be mutawatir. If it's ahad, we don't accept it. So they said it cannot be about aqidah. It cannot be about aqidah. Such as the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such as the belief in the day of judgment. Anything which is related to the fundamentals of Islam. The second condition, it cannot be about halal and haram. You cannot say this is lawful and this is unlawful based on weak hadith. So, these are the two conditions in order for you to narrate the weak hadith. Now, we said to narrate. What about working according to the hadith? If it's about aqidah or about halal and haram?
I believe if it's enforcing the halal being halal, proven the halal to be halal, yes. But if it makes the halal haram, no.
So if it
point,
emphasizes the halal,
yes.
Even if it's weak, yes. Here it says it's permissible to narrate with these conditions. Which means if it's not permissible to narrate, how can you work according to something you cannot even narrate it? So it's already implied, working according to it. It's already implied. If you cannot narrate a hadith about aqidah, which is weak, can you imply it? Of course not. If you cannot narrate it, you cannot work according to it. Okay, so that's why we say about narration. So let's say we have a narration. It's a weak hadith, and it's not about aqidah. Can we work according to it? Again, there are three opinions. One opinion says, no, you cannot. You work according only the authentic hadith. Even if it's not about aqidah, even if it's not about halal and haram. Why? Because the authentic hadith is sufficient. Mostly people will work according to some weak hadith and they leave the authentic hadith. So why you choose a weak hadith and you don't go to the authentic hadith? Other scholars said yes, you can work according to the weak hadith without conditions. The median, the opinion in middle, in between, which is you can work according to the weak hadith with three conditions. And that's the opinion we will choose. But it's up to you. You can choose any other opinion with evidence. And all of them are mentioned in the book. There are three conditions. The first condition, the weakness cannot be strong. What do we mean by that? We mean by that the hadith cannot be too weak. Because if it's too weak, it means most likely, the Prophet ﷺ did not say it, most likely this is not a hadith. So you cannot work according to it. So the hadith cannot be too weak. This is the first thing. There is a weakness, but this weakness could be strengthened. If the hadith is too weak, nothing will strengthen this hadith. So this is the first condition. The second condition, it cannot be a new principle by itself. It's not about halal and haram, but it adds something which is new totally. It cannot be like that. It has to be under a general ruling. What do we mean by that? Now, dhikr, is it allowed or not allowed in Islam?
No.
Allowed. But do we have any evidence that when we are together, it's recommended to say La ilaha illallah 100 times each one? We don't have this. You can say La ilaha illallah, and there is a great reward, it's the best word you can say. But if you have a weak hadith, says if you say it together, that's the reward you will get. Now you did not add a new principle. You just added something which is already there under a fundamental thing, which is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the second condition. It cannot be adding a totally new thing. It has to be under some general ruling. The last thing, you should remember that it's not authentic. Even when you work according to the hadith, you know that it's not authentic. What do you mean by that? You don't wait for the reward, or you don't enforce others to do it, because maybe it was not said by the Messenger ﷺ. You already know it's not authentic. So you cannot enforce people. You cannot have the feeling that I'm doing this because it is authentic and I'll get the reward for it. No, you only do it because maybe you will get the reward. So you remember that it is a weak hadith. These are the conditions in order for you to implement the weak hadith. And again, as I said, some scholars said, even with these conditions, you cannot work according to the weak hadith. So all these opinions are mentioned in the book. Now, why do we give any hadith this degree, weak? We say this hadith is weak. And how? What's the process? We have two major reasons. Whether we have a missing link, there are 8 people between the compiler of the hadith and the Messenger ﷺ, one of them is missing, or there is no one is missing, the 8 are there, but there is a weakness in one or more of them. So it is one of two things. Whether there is a weakness or there is absence. Weakness or absence. Whether there is a missing link or there is a weakness. These are the two general reasons. Now, we will start with the weakness due to the missing narrator. So again, we have two things. We have the weak hadith for a missing link or for a weakness. We will start with the missing link. And in this type of weakness, we have again, two divisions. Clear missing link. What do we mean by clear missing link? You know that there are 8 people supposed to be there, but you have only 5. What does that mean? Definitely there are people missing. That's what we mean by clear missing link. Definitely there are people missing. Or there is a hidden missing link. You don't know. Maybe all of them are mentioned, and maybe there is one of them is missing. That's what we say, the hidden defect, because it's hidden. It's a defect and you don't know. Maybe there is one missing. If there is one missing, yet you don't know him, then that's a defect. And we will not discuss it. I just want you to know how it is divided. We have a weak hadith, whether the narrator is missing or the narrator is there, but there is weakness. If the narrator is missing, whether this missing is clear, it's known, or it is unknown. And now again, we will take only the missing link, which is clear. And again, the hadith for this is divided to 4 types. 4 types. Mursal, Muallaq, Munqati' and Mu'dal. Clear missing link. Mursal, Muallaq, Munqati' and Mu'dal. I will repeat one more time. We have the weakness in the hadith. Whether the narrator is missing or there is weakness in the narrator. If the narrator is missing, whether the missing is clear, we know that there is someone missing, or we don't know. If we know that there is a missing link, it is divided to four types: معلق, معضل, منقطع, and مرسل. Four types. That's how we break it down. Look at the tree. This is the weakness in the hadith. Whether because there is missing link or there is weakness. So we will not talk about the second type. We'll talk about the missing link. This missing, whether it's clear or unclear. And again, we will not talk about this issue. We're coming to it later. We'll talk only about if it's a clear missing link. We have معلق, منقطع, معضل, and مرسل. That's how you should have the breakdown for the weakness in the hadith. So we have whether there is weakness in the narrator or we have the narrator missing. If the narrator is missing, whether we know and it's clear or we don't know, it's unclear. If it's clear, there are four reasons: معلق, منقطع, معضل, and مرسل. Okay, now we're moving to the first type, which is معلق. الحديث المعلق. What do we mean by الحديث المعلق? Stay with me later. معلق. Linguistically, معلق means hanged. You know the hanger? In Arabic, we call it علاقة, something that you hang on it. Why we call this hadith hanged? Because there are missing people and it is hanged on the ones over it. So that's what we mean by معلق linguistically. But in hadith terminology, what's the meaning of معلق? Imam Suyuti rahimahullah in his Alfiyah, he says, مَا أَوَّلُ الْإِسْنَادِ مِنْهُ يُطْلَقُ وَلَوْ إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِ مُعَلَّقُ. If there is one missing at the beginning of the isnad, then it is معلق. As long as you have one or more missing at the beginning. The hadith that misses one or more narrator in succession, this is the condition, in succession from its beginning. From its beginning. What do we mean by beginning? Beginning from the Messenger ﷺ or from the compiler of the hadith? What do you mean by its beginning? After the Prophet ﷺ. No, that's wrong. After the Prophet ﷺ, if there is someone is missing, we call it mursal, and it's coming. Al-mu'allaq, we mean by beginning, it's beginning from the compiler. Like Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, his sheikh is missing. Or Imam Muslim rahimahullah, his sheikh is missing. That's what we mean by mu'allaq.
The one that's missing from the bottom after the last narration.
From the beginning, we say from the beginning, because that's how you narrate the hadith. Who told you this? Do you start with the Messenger ﷺ or you start with the one you saw?
So the beginning is the end of the chain.
Yes. No, the end of the chain, we call it the Messenger ﷺ again. You just need to flip it.
Okay?
So as long as there is one or more narrators in succession, they are missing, then it is معلق. And it has two examples. We have two examples. To omit the entire isnad and keep the companion, or the companion and successor only. So the example here, when Imam al-Bukhari comes, or Imam ibn Hibban, or Abu Dawood, he comes and says, an Abi Musa from the Prophet ﷺ. Now between Imam Bukhari and Abu Musa, the companion, there are like three people or four people. They are all omitted. They are all not mentioned. This is what we call معلق. Why? Because there is one or more in succession, from the beginning, they are missing. That's معلق. Or we don't have any type of isnad. We just say, the Prophet ﷺ said so and so. This is also mu'allaq. When we say the Prophet ﷺ said so and so. So whether you don't have isnad at all, you only have the Messenger ﷺ, or you have kind of isnad, the companion, the successor of the companion. Now, I will mention real examples. We will have examples from the hadith. So again, in the mu'allaq, the hanged hadith, we have one or more in succession from the beginning, they are missing. Whether the entire isnad is omitted and you have the companion and the companion and successor from the Messenger ﷺ, or you don't have isnad at all. You just say the Prophet ﷺ said so and so. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah said, Abu Musa said. Who's Abu Musa? I know his companion. Which companion? Abu Musa is Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. What's his name? Yes. Very good, Bazigha. What's the name of Abu Musa radiallahu anhu?
Oh.
Yes.
Abdullah ibn Qais.
Very good. Abdullah ibn Qais. Very good. Yeah, now alhamdulillah you're getting the names. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam covered his knee when Uthman entered. The Prophet ﷺ was sitting and part of his leg was exposed. When Uthman came, what did the Prophet ﷺ do? He covered his knee. Now, is there isnad here? Do we have, did Al-Bukhari rahimahullah meet with Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, the companion of the Messenger ﷺ? No, there are like 200 years between Al-Bukhari and Abu Musa. There are like three men or four. He did not meet with him, but he said, Abu Musa said so and so. What does that say? There are people missing from the isnad. Now again, where we are discussing the mu'allaq, in which section? In hadith mutawatir, in hadith sahih, or in hadith da'if? Where are we discussing this? Da'if, right? So, shouldn't this hadith be da'if?
Yes, it is
da'if, because we don't know. Maybe there are three men and all of them are weak narrators. How do we know? But remember, we are saying, who said that? Al-Bukhari. It is narrated in Al-Bukhari. What does that mean? It's what?
It's a good hadith.
It's sahih. Why it's sahih? Anything Al-Bukhari says, it's automatically sahih? Yes? Yes or no? Yeah, it's called Sahih al-Bukhari. There is also Sahih ibn Hibban. In principle, that's the condition of Imam al-Bukhari. He will not include any hadith unless it's authentic. However, here, this hadith, in hadith terminology, is not Sahih. Try to apply the rulings. We just took the conditions. What's the condition of this Sahih hadith? It has to be continuous chain of narrators. Do we have continuous chain of narrators here? Do we have or we don't have?
We don't have it.
We don't have, so it's weak. But why we say it's in Sahih al-Bukhari? Even if it's in Sahih al-Bukhari, it's still weak. But the same hadith was narrated from other chains with continuous link. That's why it became Sahih. In principle, this hadith is weak. This hadith is weak. And that's why we mention it in the chapter of, in the section of weak hadith. Because it is weak. However, there is an exception in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Now, so in general, this is the ruling of the hadith mu'allaq. In general, hadith mu'allaq is authentic or weak? It is weak. Why? Because there are people missing. Because there are people missing. And in order for the hadith to become authentic, it has to be continuous chain of narrators, which we don't have here. However, there is an exception for Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Al-Bukhari and Muslim, if these ahadith are mu'allaq, they still could be sahih, because scholars, when they discussed these ahadith, they took every single hadith in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. If they found hadith like that, mu'allaq, and they said it's weak in principle, they go back and they see other chains of narrators, and they say, eventually, it is sahih. But to begin with, it is weak. It is a weak hadith. So this is the first type, which is what? Mu'allaq. Al-mu'allaq, the hanged. Is it weak? Yes, it is weak. Now, we are moving to the second type. Remember, we have how many types?
Four.
Mu'allaq, munqati', mu'dal, mursal. We took mu'allaq and now we are talking about the mursal. So what's the meaning of the mursal? Mursal hadith, the hadith that has a missing narrator at the end of it, before the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is what? It's the opposite. There is one missing at the end of it. Okay? If you tell me al-mursal is the one who has a missing narrator at the beginning of it, I will not accept it, because we mean at the beginning of it, the narrator after the compiler. So if there is someone missing before the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it is what? Mursal. Then it is mursal. What's the example of it? There are many examples. One of the examples, when a successor says, the Prophet ﷺ said so-and-so. Now, did the successor meet with the Messenger ﷺ? Did he meet with him?
Yes, the successor.
The successor?
The companion, yes.
The companion. But the successor, he did not meet with the Messenger ﷺ. So definitely there is someone between, at least someone. So when the successor says, the Prophet ﷺ said so-and-so, what's the name of this hadith? Mursal. This is the hadith al-mursal. Because there is a link missing between the narrator and the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay. We'll take an example. We'll take an example from the hadith. In Sahih Muslim, we have a strong chain, long chain of narrators. Muhammad ibn Rafi' from Juhayn, from Al-Layth, from Uqayl, from Ibn Shihab, from Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's how the isnad goes. This is just an example. Muhammad ibn Rafi' is the Sheikh of Imam Muslim. He took it from Juhayn. Juhayn took it from Al-Layth, Al-Layth ibn Sa'd, the contemporary to Imam Malik, rahimahullah. We took it from Uqayl, from Ibn Shihab. Who's Ibn Shihab? Ibn Shihab, I gave you this question in the exam. Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn Shihab, al-Zuhri. Very good. Who answered it? Bazigha, very good. From Sa'id. Who's Sa'id? Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. Now, Sa'id, is he a companion? Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, did he see the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did he or didn't he? No, he did not. He's not a companion. Sa'id ibn Musayyib, he's from the successors. But Sa'id ibn Musayyib, he said, the Prophet ﷺ said so and so. So this hadith is what? Mursal. What's the verdict? Is it a weak hadith or authentic hadith? Weak. Why? Again, there is one missing. So if there is one missing, it's not what? Is it a continuous chain? Is it a continuous chain? So did it fulfill the conditions of the authentic hadith?
No.
No, so it's what? Da'if, weak. Why it's da'if? Now let me ask you this. Who's the one who's missing here?
Companion.
Companion, right? Do we check on the companions? No, they are all what? Trustworthy. So why don't we say it's authentic?
Because he may have heard it from
a
companion.
We don't know if there was a companion or not.
Exactly, that's the reason. We don't know if he heard it from a companion or not. Maybe it's not a companion. Maybe he heard it from two people before the companion. That's why we say it is mursal. It is weak. Because not always there is a companion. Maybe there is no companion here. If we knew that for sure there was a companion, it doesn't matter who was this companion. As long as he's a companion, hadith, the hadith is authentic. So in general, hadith al-mursal, is it weak or authentic? It is weak. But again, we mentioned this hadith, this example from Sahih Muslim. How can we have mursal in Sahih Muslim? Again, because other narrations, they mentioned the companion. So in general, it is weak. But is this the opinion of all scholars, that the mursal is weak? What do you think?
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. Actually, the majority of scholars, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, he said the mursal hadith is authentic based on the fact that the one who is missing is a companion. So we have actually three opinions, and all of them are also mentioned in the book. One opinion says it's weak. The mursal hadith, it's weak. And this is the opinion of the majority of scholars of hadith. Now you have the majority of scholars of fiqh and the majority of scholars of hadith. The majority of scholars of hadith, they said it is weak. Because again, we just applied the rule. And the rule says if there is one missing, it is weak. That's the majority of scholars of hadith. The majority of scholars of fiqh, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, they said it is authentic, absolutely. It doesn't matter if there is one missing before the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because most likely it is a companion. So they said it is authentic. And we have a third opinion in the middle, which says it is authentic but with conditions. And that's the opinion of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah and some scholars of hadith. It is authentic but with conditions. Why? Because again, it's strong. Even if it's weak, it is a strong hadith. Because maybe it's only one missing and most likely it is the companion. But in some cases, maybe there is more than one. So they say it is a condition, it is an authentic with conditions. That's the opinion of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah and some scholars. So what are these conditions? They said there has to be four conditions. Four. There has to be four conditions. It has to be from an old tabi'i. The successor who narrates this hadith, he has to be old tabi'i. Like Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, al-Hasan al-Basri. Those, the famous successors. Why? Because if he is old successor, then he took it from whom? From a companion. From a companion. Why he is old? Because he just missed the Prophet ﷺ. So if he missed the Prophet ﷺ, definitely he took it from a companion. If he is a young successor, yarhamukumullah, if he is a young successor, maybe he took it from older successor. That's why we say he has to be old. Because in this case, we guarantee that he took it from a companion. And once we know that he took it from a companion, it's authentic. Yes. So this is the first condition. It has to be from all tabi'i. The second condition, if he named the person, he names a thiqah. Let's say there is a successor, Zuhri, for instance. And he narrated 10 ahadith. In these 10 ahadith, he said, the Prophet ﷺ said so and so. He did not say, the companion told me, from the Prophet ﷺ. He directly said, the Prophet ﷺ said so and so. So let's say we have 10 narrations from a successor. He is telling you, the Prophet ﷺ told me so and so. And you ask him, who told you? Because you did not see the Prophet ﷺ. If he gave a name of a thiqah, of a trustworthy, whether a companion or another successor who is a companion or who is a trustworthy, then we accept it. This is the second condition. It's not enough only to narrate it from an old tabi'i. This tabi'i, if we ask him who he took it from, he gives a name of a trustworthy. Why is this condition? Because if this tabi'i, when we ask him about the name and he gives weak narrators, then most likely these ahadith that he's narrating are weak. So we cannot accept it. He has to name, if he named the missing link, he has to name a strong narrator. The third condition, if others narrated the same hadith, now remember, they used to have many students. Like in one circle of knowledge, they used to have 200 people. So if others differed with him, they have to get the same hadith. That means he is what? The narrator, even if he has someone missing, he knows what he's telling you. He doesn't have weakness in himself. So the narrator himself cannot be weak. Because let's try to implement the first and the second rule. There is a weak narrator from the successors, but he narrates from authentic sources, from the companions. And he's old. That's not enough. He himself, he cannot make lots of mistakes. Which means if others narrated the same hadith, they have the same meaning. They don't have lots of difference in these hadith. The last condition, there has to be one of the following. Three conditions plus one of these, the four followings. To have the hadith reported from another narration with continuous chain. Now, again, this condition is really strict, because if we have the other hadith with continuous chain, then it's automatically sahih. So we don't need to check on it. Or to be reported from a mursal, from another chain of narrators. So let's say here, there is a link missing. There is another chain with only one missing. So they have to be in the same strength. It cannot be too weak. It has to be in the same strength. This is the second condition. Or to be supported by an opinion of a companion. Now we don't have another narration. We fulfilled the conditions. It's from old tabi'i. It's, if we asked him to name someone, he will name someone who is thiqa. And we have another narration, or we don't have the other narration, but we have this hadith supported by opinion of a companion. The Prophet ﷺ said about something, this is halal. So one of the narrators came and he gave a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said this is halal. So we have the hadith which is mursal, and we have the opinion of a companion. Or the scholars give fatwa according to it. Now, even if they say this hadith is mursal, it's weak, but that's the ruling, they accept it, that means it is authentic. Now, if you fulfill these conditions, 99.9% it is authentic hadith. You cannot miss authentic hadith if you fulfill all these conditions. But again, some scholars, they just said it is authentic always. Other scholars said it is weak. If you apply all these rulings, most likely 99.9% it is authentic hadith. So this is the second type of the missing, clear missing link. We have the mu'allaq and we have the mursal. And with this, before we end our session, one more issue. The mursal of a companion. Now we said the mursal is what? What's the mursal? There is someone missing at the end, before the Messenger ﷺ. Can we have a mursal of a companion? Companion saying, the Prophet ﷺ said so and so, but we still rule it as mursal. Can we do that? The companion is the one who is narrating the hadith.
Yes.
Can? How? He's the companion.
If he didn't say, I heard it from the Prophet.
Exactly. If he did not hear it from the Prophet ﷺ, could this happen? Yes, it could happen. A companion may say, the Prophet ﷺ said so-and-so. Like Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, once, he said the Prophet ﷺ said so-and-so. He was asked, did you hear it from the Messenger ﷺ? He said, no. He gave another companion. We heard it from the Messenger ﷺ. Or, the companion is too young. When the Prophet ﷺ died, he was only 7 years old. He is still a companion, but he did not hear it from the Messenger ﷺ. Like when the companion, like Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Abdullah ibn Abbas is a young companion. If he narrated something in the Meccan era, before he was born, this is Mursal, because he did not hear it from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what's the ruling of the Mursal of a companion? Yes. Okay, Bazigha said, we know that he heard it from another companion. And we don't check on the companion. So the ruling is what? It is what? What do you say, Bazigha? And the others, what do you say?
Authentic.
Sahih. I don't think so. I don't think so. Why? Because again, even if he is a companion, maybe he did not hear it from another companion. Maybe he took it from a tabi'i, and it happened. Maybe he heard it from a tabi'i, and that tabi'i, he did not hear it from a companion. It could happen. Now again, I'm not telling you this happens a lot. It's very, very rare. But it could happen. Therefore, the scholars who said it is authentic, they are much more than the scholars who said about the mursal is authentic. Because it's a mursal of a companion. He's a young companion. Yes, he did not hear it from the Messenger ﷺ, but most likely he heard it from the Messenger, from a companion who heard it from the Messenger ﷺ. So that's the issue of the mursal of a companion. And with this, inshallah, we will conclude our session for today. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبي محمد وعلى اله وصحبه أجمعين. Is there any question? Is there any question? About the mu'allaq or the mursal or the weak hadith in general? What is thiqa? Thiqa is description which has two things. The trustworthiness and the excellent memory. Thiqa means retentive and reliable. We will come to it inshallah. All the authentic ahadith, they have to have all thiqa narrators. That's how we describe the one who has excellent memory and excellent, and he's trustworthy. We call him thiqah.